Hello, and welcome to our program, Senior Living, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Chrissy Mernon. During this next half hour, I'm reading articles from the AARP Bulletin, and this is the cover story, Drug Prices to Fall for Older Americans, Historic New Law, Sweeping Changes. This is a special message from the CEO. At long last, drug price relief. Dear AARP members, I'm writing to thank you, our nearly 38 million members, for fighting with us to bring down the cost of prescription drugs for older Americans. Thanks to your active support over many years, AARP successfully led the fight for a new law that makes prescription drugs more affordable for older Americans. When the president signed this legislation last month, he put an exclamation point on an effort that began some 60 years ago when AARP's founder, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, first urged Congress to contain the soaring cost of prescription drugs. As you will read in this issue of the AARP Bulletin, the new law requires Medicare for the first time to negotiate with drug companies for lower prices, and it penalizes those that raise their prices faster than inflation. The law will save hundreds of billions of dollars for seniors, taxpayers, and Medicare. This is a common-sense approach that people across the political spectrum support. In fact, the only opposition for all these years has been from big drug companies. What's more, the law will provide older Americans with peace of mind, knowing that the drugs they need to stay healthy and often to stay alive won't impoverish them. As a result of this law, beginning in 2025, those of you in Medicare drug plans will have your annual out-of-pocket drug cost capped at $2,000. And beginning in 2023, a new $35 monthly cap on insulin cost will take effect. This is a historic victory for consumers. Drug companies have for decades raked in record profits by charging Americans three times what people in other countries pay for the same medications. Now that will begin to change. With your support, we stood up to big drug companies and we won. While the big drug companies relied on their high-paid lobbyists, misleading advertising, and enormous war chest, we relied on you, what Dr. Andrus called our army of useful citizens, to make our leaders understand what outrageously high drug prices mean for so many who must choose between paying for the medicine they need and everyday expenses like gas and groceries. Throughout this campaign, you took more than 8 million actions, such as signing petitions, sending emails, writing letters, or picking up the phone and calling Congress. Together, we convinced Congress to listen to the voices and stories of millions of Americans who have been hurt by these high costs. Simply put, this victory would not have been possible without you. By raising your voices and sharing your stories, you kept the issue of high drug prices on the national agenda. Your membership dues and the revenue we earn as a nonprofit enabled us to take on and beat one of the most entrenched and well-funded special interests in Washington. We should celebrate this momentous occasion, but it is no time to let our guard down. Already, the drug makers are maneuvering to overturn the law or water it down. They won't stop. But rest assured, with your continued support, neither will AARP. And that's signed Joanne Jenkins, who is the AARP CEO. Here's the cover story, Landmark Changes. New drug price law could save older Americans billions in cost, by Dina Bunis. It finally happened. After years of pressure and debate, Congress, in August, passed a law designed to help millions of older Americans better afford the medicines and health care they need. From capping out-of-pocket drug spending costs for Medicare enrollees to helping many more lower-income Americans pay for health insurance premiums under the Affordable Care Act, ACA, to allowing Medicare to use its enormous bargaining power to negotiate prices on some of the most critical medicines used by older Americans, the new law is seen by its supporters as a historic victory for Americans of all ages. Lowering prescription drug prices is a top priority for Americans, with more than 80% of people from both political parties supporting the measure, says AARP CEO Joanne Jenkins. AARP will keep fighting to get Americans relief from the high price of prescription drugs. The Inflation Reduction Act, as the measure is known, was approved by both chambers of Congress and signed into law in mid-August. In addition to focusing on critical health care issues, the legislation also addresses climate change and energy policies, takes steps to reduce the federal deficit, and includes changes to corporate taxes. The law puts an annual limit, initially set at $2,000 when it takes effect in 2025, on how much enrollees of Part D prescription drug plans would have to pay out of pocket for their medications. Some 50 million Medicare enrollees have Part D coverage, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Of those, 1.3 million spent more than the $2,000 out of pocket for their medicines in 2020, the Kaiser Family Foundation says. The law also calls for tax penalties on drug makers that raise medicine prices more than the inflation rate, and the bill caps the cost of Medicare-covered insulin at $35 a month, as well as eliminates out-of-pocket costs for most vaccines under Medicare. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, CBO, calculated that the law would save Medicare hundreds of billions of dollars over 10 years, with the majority of the savings coming as a result of prescription drug price negotiations and the penalties that would encourage pharmaceutical companies to keep price increases to no more than the rate of inflation. That means beneficiaries would be able to get the same medications they do now, but some of those drugs would cost them and Medicare less. The savings would not be the result of any cuts to Medicare, the CBO says. Not everyone agrees with that analysis. Some critics of the new law contend it will stop companies from developing new drugs and give the government too much control over drug prices. But the CBO analysis says that the pharmaceutical industry, which is among the most profitable industries in the country, will still have plenty of incentive to innovate. Also included in the law is a 3-year extension of expanded subsidies and other financial enhancements first included in the American Rescue Plan that will help bring down the cost of ACA health insurance plans. These subsidies are particularly important to those ages 50 to 64 who pay up to 3 times more than younger people for their insurance. Key provisions at a glance. Lowering drug cost. Total annual out-of-pocket spending on RX drugs under Medicare Part D or Advantage will be capped starting in 2025 at $2,000. Most vaccines will be free for Medicare enrollees beginning in January 2024. Premiums for Medicare Part D drug insurance plans will not increase more than 6% a year through at least 2029. The income threshold to qualify for a subsidy to help pay for Part D out-of-pocket cost will be increased from 135% of the federal poverty level, $18,347 for an individual in 2022, to 150%, $20,385 for an individual in 2022. To prevent long-term price increases, the Secretary of Health and Human Services will be authorized to make a one-time adjustment to the Part D premium percentage in 2030. Negotiating drug prices. The Health and Human Services Secretary is authorized to begin negotiating the prices of 10 high-cost prescription drugs in 2023. The negotiated prices go into effect in 2026. The number of drugs whose prices will be negotiated on behalf of Medicare will rise to 15 in 2027 and 2028, and then to 20 in 2029 and every year thereafter. Inflation rebates and protections. If the price of a Part D prescription drug is raised more than the rate of general inflation, the drug maker will have to rebate Medicare the amount of the increase that is higher than the inflation rate. That begins in October. Affordable Care Act. For those who buy health insurance through an ACA marketplace, the bill extends through 2025 the federal premium subsidy and other financial enhancements made under the American Rescue Plan. For those 50 to 64 years old, these subsidies provide an average savings of over $950 annually, and all consumers will continue to pay no more than 8.5% of their income on ACA health insurance premiums. Here's a sidebar to that article. Medicare's top five drugs. The five prescription medicines Medicare spent the most money on in 2020 and their announced price increases in January 2022. Eliquis, use, a blood thinner for people with atrial fibrillation, AFib. The price increase, 6%. Spent $9.9 billion. Beneficiaries, 2.6 million. Revlimid, used to treat multiple myeloma. Price increase, 4.5%. Spent $5.4 billion. Beneficiaries, 43,747. Xarelto, use, a blood thinner for people with atrial fibrillation, AFib. Price increase, 4.9%. Spent, $4.7 billion. Beneficiaries, 1.1 million. Januvia, use, to treat type 2 diabetes. Spent, $3.9 billion. Beneficiaries, 934,686. The price increase, 5%. Trulicity, the price increase, 5%. The use to treat type 2 diabetes, spent $3.3 billion. Beneficiaries, 497,327. The next article from the AARP Bulletin, still with this cover story, AARP has led the fight, a long legacy of battling for affordable prescription drugs. The new law that will allow Medicare to negotiate the prices of some high-cost prescription drugs and that caps out-of-pocket expenses for millions of older Americans is the culmination of a battle AARP has been waging for decades. This is a historic victory that will make prescription drugs more affordable for tens of millions of older Americans and their families, AARP CEO Joanne Jenkins said in a message to those who fought to get the Medicare reforms enacted. Together, we made Congress understand what outrageously high drug prices mean for the millions of Americans who are forced to choose between paying for the medicine they need and everyday expenses like gas and groceries. The need to make medications more affordable was first raised by AARP founder Ethel Percy Andrus years before the Medicare program was even created. It has long been recognized that one of the greatest expenses for retired persons living on restricted budgets is the high cost of drugs and prescriptions, said Andrus, who provided testimony to Congress about the high cost of prescription drugs in 1961. Beginning in 2018, it became clear that tackling the high cost of prescription drugs had support from lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle. Senators and members of the House were promising their constituents they would do something. Then President Trump expressed a willingness to act in his State of the Union address. So AARP went to work launching the Stop RX Greed campaign. AARP state offices and members from coast to coast were enlisted to begin a steady drumbeat to convince lawmakers that now was the time to act. The COVID-19 pandemic interrupted the campaign, but by 2021, AARP was back in the RX fight in a big way, launching a new campaign around the message, Fair RX Prices Now. Among the tactics was the Show Your Receipts effort to demonstrate to lawmakers exactly how much it costs consumers to take their medicine. Between 2019 and this summer, AARP spent tens of millions of dollars on advertising, collected 4.3 million petitions urging Congress to act, generated 3.6 million emails to lawmakers, and solicited hundreds of thousands of calls from older Americans to flood their lawmakers' offices. We made Congress listen to the voices and stories of millions of Americans who are impacted by the high cost of prescription drugs, Jenkins says. The big drug companies are already spending millions to overturn the new law, but we will not back down until all Americans 50 plus can afford their medications. The next article from the AARP Bulletin, Your Money. Your all-in-one retirement home? Move from independent living to nursing home care by hardly moving at all, by Bill Hangley Jr. Want a plan in place for all your future housing and care needs? Consider a Continuing Care Retirement Community, CCRC, a one-stop retirement campus designed to offer a full range of support from independent living to assisted living and skilled nursing care. With occupancy rates lower than they were pre-pandemic, it's a little more of a buyer's market, says Beth Mace, chief economist with the National Investment Center for Seniors Housing and Care, NIC, a trade group that collects financial data about the industry. It's probably easier to get a bit of a discount, she says. Even so, the roughly 1,700 CCRCs in the U.S. still have plenty of customers who want to get all their needs met in one location. These are for people who like to have a plan, Mace says. I didn't want to be a burden to my family, says Kathy Pregman, 76, who moved into Lima Estates, a CCRC in Media, Pennsylvania this year. I know that this will be expensive, but I also know it will be controlled. Features of CCRCs, also known as life plan communities, vary. And joining one is a complex commitment that comes with risk. Here are some answers to some questions you might have about this housing option. What do they look like? The typical CCRC is a gated campus with residential apartments or small houses, along with nursing home facilities, rehab centers, and any number of amenities. CCRCs can feature dining halls, swimming pools, golf courses, and other recreational facilities. Where can I find one? Most are located in the Northeast, Midwest, and South. Who lives there? The typical CCRC has several hundred residents, but some have 1,000 or more. New residents tend to be about 80, white, and college-educated. Most residents are single women, but CCRCs attract couples as well. And some market to specific groups such as Spanish speakers and older LGBTQ adults. How much do they cost? Enough that new residents typically finance their move with the sale of their home. You'll likely have an upfront fee ranging from about $100,000 to $950,000, according to NIC's latest figures. The median entrance fee is around $330,000. Then come monthly payments, typically in the thousands of dollars, in three basic varieties. An A plan, the most expensive, includes a promise that you won't be charged more when you need more care, though at any stage, rates may increase based on rising overall operating expenses. B plans and C plans, which cost less up front, offer less coverage later on. Under a B plan, for example, you might get only a limited number of days of skilled nursing care before paying market rates. A C plan might give you no price protection for assisted living or nursing care. No matter what type of plan you're on, you may have to pay additional fees for various services, such as room service and access to amenities. What can go wrong? If a CCRC encounters financial difficulties, residents might end up paying unexpectedly higher fees. Some CCRCs are shifting some of their costly, labor-intensive nursing home services to off-site providers. Earlier this year, a luxury CCRC in Dallas filed for bankruptcy. Though it's still operating, press reports indicate that families and estates of former residents may never receive refunds they are due. Pregman says residents and their families need to prepare to hold their CCRC accountable for all of its contractual commitments. You have to be able to speak up for yourself, she says. How do I shop for a CCRC? You can search directories such as aarp.org/caregiving/local or mylifesite.net. to find facilities where you might live. Study cost carefully. What are the upfront expenses and what's refundable if there's a problem? What's included in monthly fees and what isn't? Is there a menu of prices for add-on services? Ask the CCRCs about their historical year-over-year monthly fee increases, advises Kristen Hambleton, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Presbyterian Senior Living in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. A high average annual increase is a problem. Also, be sure to ask what happens if you outlive your financial resources. In-person visits are essential. Cleanliness is definitely important, Hambleton says. Bregman visited multiple CCRCs before selecting one, writing down the pros and cons of each, such as cost, location, organized activities, privacy, and food quality. Nothing is perfect, that's for sure, she says. You have to know what you can put up with. And the next article from the AARP Bulletin is under the Fraud Watch section. The Glitter Bomb Defense. A former NASA engineer got mad at scammers. Now he is getting even in some creative ways. By Catherine Skiba. File this story in the Be Careful Whom You Mess With folder. When thieves took an Amazon package off a California front porch in 2018, they had no idea whom they were stealing from. It was Mark Robert, a former NASA engineer turned YouTube superstar, famous for his ingenious science videos such as creating an Olympic-level obstacle course to keep squirrels out of his bird feeders. It's been viewed some 99 million times. I felt super violated by the theft, Robert recalls. Ironically, the package had contained a $5 combination lock. I thought if anyone is going to do something about this, it should be me. I helped put rovers on Mars. I can stop packages from getting stolen. So Robert, 42, rigged a package with a hidden camera he could monitor and a bomb inside that exploded into a cloud of glitter when it was opened. Then he waited for a crook to steal it. The resulting video of a porch pirate getting glitter bombed has been watched some 88 million times and greatly raised the issue among consumers and law enforcement. Robert's anti-crime crusading could have ended there. He's worked on other stunts, like filling a pool with gelatin to see what a belly flop would feel like. 117 million people have watched that one. But instead, the episode opened his eyes to the broader issues of consumer fraud. So he set his ambitions higher to take on illicit call centers in India that often target older Americans. His most recent mission took 18 months to plan and execute, working with other YouTube fraud vigilantes, including Jim Browning, the pseudonym of a Northern Irish fraud fighter profiled in the April 2021 issue of the AARP Bulletin, and Trilogy Media, two scam fighters who are based in Los Angeles. Robert designed intricate machines that, when triggered, would expel some scary stuff into a room. The elaborate scheme worked. When the trap was sprung, a criminal call center in Kolkata, India, was overrun with cockroaches, rats, a noxious-smelling spray, and glitter bombs. The resulting mayhem was captured on closed-circuit TV cameras that Robert's team had hacked. The surprise attack at least temporarily idled several scam call centers. The group shared its work with Indian officials, and the result, according to news outlets in India, has been multiple arrests. The Bulletin talked with Robert about his adventures in crime fighting and next steps. How surprised were you at the vastness of the fraud industry? Very. It was definitely more organized than I was anticipating, like with the money mules in the United States and how that was all structured. They have good technology and good training. This isn't a rinky-dink setup. How sophisticated are the criminal organizations you encountered? If Microsoft was running their call center in India, it wouldn't look a lot different from these scam call centers. These scam companies optimize the best way to make outbound calls and basically are salespeople. But instead of, say, trying to sell you auto insurance, they're convincing you that something is wrong and that you need to take action for some fictitious scenario. Was the Kolkata mission risky to your local agents? If I knew what I know now, I don't know if I would have done it. The call center owners are criminals. They make about $20 million a year, and to some people, human life is worth less than $20 million. They could, at the very least, rough someone up to try to protect their assets. On the other side, for a lot of these agents who are ex-scammers, it was personal. They had seen firsthand the devastation that this industry causes to a lot of people. What led you from pursuing porch pirates to going after international phone fraud? I was in the middle of putting together a glitter bomb and kept getting interrupted by a bunch of spam calls. I like using engineering anywhere there is justice to be pursued. Anytime you can find someone like that to mess with, it's perfect because everyone's going to be rooting for you. And it feels really cathartic. Why do you think criminal call centers target older Americans? One of their tactics is to overwhelm and pressure people, especially when it comes to technology. On average, older Americans are less technologically savvy because they didn't grow up with it. Also, they have worked most of their lives, so some older people have a lot of money, or at least more than a 20-year-old. It's a combination of those two things. You avoid victim blaming. The people who think they're too smart to get scammed tend to be the people who feel so foolish when it does happen that they don't report it. There is something to be said about destigmatizing getting scammed. Scammers simply get people on the wrong day at the wrong time. Do you feel you have ways to fight fraud that law enforcement cannot? I have been told that by multiple law enforcement agencies. If you name all the major law enforcement agencies, at least one person from each has reached out to us to ask questions or for evidence or techniques. It's an arms race, though, because scammers change their tactics. Hopefully, we can tip the balance back, at least temporarily, in favor of the victims. Is your fight against call centers still going on? There is one that is still operational that we have agents in right now that will be shut down soon, I hope. Any surprises for porch pirates? Yes, it will have something to do with drones. That's all I'm saying. What other criminals are you targeting? The smash-and-grab thieves who are breaking car windows and stealing from the vehicles. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's really bad. I'll be working potentially with some law enforcement. There will be a very uncharitable amount of fart spray involved. Is the feedback that you get on YouTube different for scam-busting videos than it is for your more usual post? Yeah, I get a lot of people who personally message me or comment how they have a grandparent or loved one who, sadly, got scammed out of a bunch of money, and how heartbreaking it is, and frustrating, and embarrassing, and devastating in some cases. In other cases, they barely stopped it in the nick of time. But in all the cases, they're grateful that this content's being pushed out. What could end this wave of phone fraud? The Indian government needs to get serious and actually make it easier to prosecute these crimes. Because right now, someone says, hey, my grandmother just got called. She just lost $20,000. The folks in law enforcement in the U.S. are like, it is so not worth our time to try and track this down. It is just going to be a dead end. The other way to handle it is to educate people. And that is what I'm doing with my videos. I am trying to educate people by making entertaining content. So at least people know how the scam works. You've been listening to Senior Living on Al Radio. You can listen to Al Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.alradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 this evening. I'm Chrissy Mernon saying goodbye from Al Radio.